Into sports.
20 yards out, Hurst to shoot. Don't shoot! Oh, what a goal from Fabinho! Wow!
Then get into the all-new OTB Sports app.
I think when he apologises to me, I probably will say hello to him, yeah.
No. Videos, sports news, live scores, interviews.
If Fabregas is going to come up to me in the street and give me some of the mouth that he would have given me on a football pitch, what would he do? He'd get a slap.
Plus, exclusive content on the OTB Podcast Network. The biggest names in sports, ready when you are. Search OTB Sports on your app store and download it now.
The OTB Podcast Network, with Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural, protein-powered chicken bites.
Yeah, it's that time of the year. So it's Super Bowl 55 on the way. We thought we would talk to two men who've been to Super Bowls down the years. I know it's probably something lots of you haven't done and would like to do. Let's find out if it's all it's cracked up to be. Kieran Donaghy, hello.
Hey, Joe, how are you?
Very well. And Mossy Quinn, hello to you.
Hey, Joe, how's things?
Very well. So Donaghy, we'll start with you. 2013, New Orleans. This was your honeymoon.
This is my honeymoon, yeah. I think the wife got full say of the wedding, which I was very glad to hand over. And maybe she wasn't as glad when she found out where we were actually going on our honeymoon. But I was in full control of the honeymoon. So, yeah, just fitted in a kind of a four-day slot in New Orleans around Super Bowl weekend in the faint hope of maybe getting tickets and trying to get to it.
Well, I was going to say, so the tickets thing is interesting. How do you get tickets for Super Bowl?
Oh, you won't believe the lengths I went to. Poor old Dick Spring got a text and all, see if he could get on to Bill Clinton and see if we could get tickets. I was never going to be in a Super Bowl weekend again, so I was like, I got to pull out every stop, every call. And I'd given up hope. I remember we were in the casino in Vegas. I'd given up hope on getting there. And a buddy of mine, Jerry Rochford, who's a big Kerry fan and a Man United fan from London, gives me awful grief about supporting Chelsea. And I rang him and I just said, Jerry, there's no chance you'd know anybody in America that'd be able to get me two Super Bowl tickets. He said, where are you? I said, I'm in Vegas. I'll ring you back in 5 minutes. And he rang me back in 5 minutes with two tickets. Where in Vegas are you? I says, I'm in Caesar's Palace. And he was like, there's a man there, Maurice McKelly, got another good Kerry man from Nixnaw living in San Francisco, and he's after getting two tickets for you. And they're on the way to Caesar's Palace. So I had to go down in and collect them. The only problem was that I had to mind them for about 5 days, Joe. Which, if you know me, a small bit scatty at times. So it was like every morning there was a check to make sure they were in the safe. There was the flight. They were in my top pocket in the flight. There was no way I was going to end up losing them. But I got them in the end. And it was some experience, though.
Okay, well, I do want to hear about the experience. Mossy, you went in 14.
Yeah, and it's interesting to listen to Kieran talking about it. I was the same. I went with Barry Cowell, who would have played for Dublin for me for a long time. So myself and Barry had been at probably five or six NFL games over the previous 9 or 10 years. We'd been at playoff games. We were at an AFC Championship game in 2008. So obviously, next stage is try to get to the Super Bowl. So we decided the one in New York, the first kind of cold weather one, 2014, we figured if we couldn't get it through connections in New York, we'd probably never get it to one of the other cities, because it's usually, we just felt through the Irish connections. And very similar to Kieran, we actually booked the flights 6 months in advance. We booked, and again, another benefit is a lot of the times in the, like for this week, for instance, this weekend, it's in Tampa, obviously a limited amount of hotels. You know, Florida would be a bit better, but you wouldn't have that issue with New York. So we figured we'd get flights and accommodation anyway. We do whatever we could to get, call in as many favors as possible to try and get tickets. And worst case scenario, we were in New York and we'd watch it in a bar. But same as that, we started contacting people actually in September, October. But that's like someone ringing you now looking for an All-Ireland final ticket, you know? And
I think you rang me as well, Massey, did you?
I think I did.
You knew I was there the year before. Where'd you get the tickets?
Anyone in my phone book that I thought could have a connection to it. And it was funny. And the thing is, we ended up getting them. And the majority of people you ring either say they laugh at you and say no.
I know.
One or two people kind of said, well, look, you're ringing me in September. Come back to me a couple of weeks out when you know what teams are in it. And a lot of it comes down to whether it's the big market teams, like if it's the Patriots or someone like that, there's a huge fan base. Whereas if it's, again, how far they have to travel as well. So we'd actually, a couple of us lads who just finished up with Dublin around 2011-2012, there was every year Dan Rooney was the ambassador, the US ambassador to Ireland, and he was living up in the Phoenix Park there, obviously in the US embassy residence. And every 4th of July he used to arrange a 4th of July party, which there was a flag football game that was part of it. And a couple of us were invited to play, myself, Barry, Jason Sherlock, there was a few others, Eamon Fennell. Eamon tried to play, but they had two local Irish-American football teams, the Dublin Rhinos, I think, were involved, possibly the Rebels as well. So they it was a flag football game. It was part of a day of, there was tents with beer and hot dogs and wings and food, and it was class. It was a brilliant trip, our brilliant day that they organised, and we were in it for a couple of years. We played in a couple of the games, and Ben Roethlisberger, Dan Rooney, as well as being the US ambassador, he owns the Pittsburgh Steelers, or his family owns the Pittsburgh Steelers, so he was the owner. So Ben Roethlisberger actually came over, the quarterback for the Steelers, was there one of the years as well, so he was there on the 4th of July in the Phoenix Park. But and I was going through all the list of contacts in October, November. We'd actually done a couple of charity events on the back of that appearance with him in July. We went and there was a couple of charity pieces. So we hadn't done much in terms of, we turned up and just a couple of small things. So I'd sent an email to the contact in the embassy saying, look, and usually every Irish person says, oh, here, go away. She thanked me for getting in touch with her, thanked me for thinking of her for the request. And she said, we got an email then in January saying we were on Mr. Rooney's list. Now, we didn't know what that meant, as in how big a list or how. And then similar, 10 days out from the Super Bowl, I got an email from a guy in the Pittsburgh Steelers organization emailing me to say I'd been successful. Once we arranged payment, he'd get the tickets sent to us. So we actually, the tickets were FedExed from Pittsburgh to Ireland. So I actually, similar to Karen, the tickets arrived 2 days before we flew out. So I'm in Dublin with Super Bowl tickets. And again, talk about gardening with my life, going through the airport. They were obviously more important than the passport nearly, you know. So
you were more important than Barry Cahill.
We would have left him in immigration if the tickets were coming. So it just made the whole weekend, because we weren't getting there scrambling looking on the Friday, and it added to the whole experience. You could go relaxed, and a couple of buddies of mine came as well. Now they didn't go to the game in the end. They were happy enough to just take in the weekend and watch it in a bar. So Mr. Rooney was brilliant. He was a gentleman. He's passed away since. His family still own the Steelers, but he was a very generous man, and it was brilliant. We were delighted to get it, you know.
So Kieran, you've been to your fair share of sporting events. I know you saw Chelsea win a Champions League. Yeah, Super Bowl day, the whole shebang. Good, unmissable, unbelievable. What are the big memories from it?
I suppose we were lucky in a way, because New Orleans is fairly out of the way, and you know, as Tomas says, you know, in New York we'd know so many guys over there. But New Orleans, we were lucky. We'd Mark Murphy, who was the golf pro from Waterville, who won Big Break. He actually picked us up in the airport in a Hummer, and we crashed a Hummer on the way back to the house. A poor taxi man pulled out, made a mistake, and got a Hummer into the side of the car. So that was the first kind of, that was within about 30 minutes of hitting New Orleans. We're already causing carnage. But he had another friend who had a house at the end of Bourbon Street, so we were able to go down there that morning of the game, and there was a big party. There was like 200 people in the party, and they were doing, you know, taking all the bets on the final scoreline and the boxes, etc., and drink everywhere. And we drank there all day at the bottom of Bourbon Street, and then we kind of walked away up through Bourbon Street till we got to the game. Now we were fairly well on it by the time we got to the game, but it's a long 4 hours, and you know, there's only so much of the beer you can drink. But we were lucky. We got a great game, Joe, to be honest with you. It was the Harborough Bowl. It was, if you remember, John and Jim, the two brothers, which is an amazing thing if you think about it.
Yeah.
Two brothers coaching in a Super Bowl, and their son and respective nephew were actually on the coaching staff as well. So it was a tough one for the mom and dad of that family to know who to cheer for. But you'd the famous Beyonce was on at halftime, which was obviously epic. Hillary was delighted with that. But then we had the power outage. So for 34 minutes, right, Jacoby Jones caught the return. The boys were, the what were they up? They were up 21-6 or something like that. And they caught, the Baltimore Ravens caught the kickoff, and Jacoby Jones ran it the length of the pitch, touchdown. And, you know, it looked like the game was over. And within the celebrations of that, the power went out, and there was 34 minutes of of kind of eerie silence. Nobody knew what was going on. Nobody knew why there was a power cut. You know, nobody knew the reasons. It should, like, you're all kind of going there, this shouldn't happen in a Super Bowl. So is there something? I was getting a bit panicky.
You'd be even thinking, is this a terrorist attack of some kind?
Yeah, something weird going on. This is not the game. This isn't the Castle Island Blitz at Christmas and you forget to put the 50p in the meter and the lights go up midway through the game. This is big deal. So they came back on and Colin Kaepernick led the 49ers, who'd never lost the Super Bowl before that. Obviously led by Joe Montana and all the other ones and Young. So they just went on a massive run, 17 straight points, brought it right back. I think there was like four or five in it. They brought the ball down to the Baltimore 7-yard line. And that was the 2-minute warning. And they were on the 7-yard line with Colin Kaepernick and Anquan Boldin and a load of options. And you were kind of going, they're going to pull off this comeback, which would be amazing. But it was a joy to watch Terrell Suggs and especially Ray Lewis, the way they led them four downs, and San Francisco ended up turning over in downs. It was a bit of a dubious call in the last one that was thrown to the pylon by the corner, but an unbelievable game and an unbelievable experience. And yeah, it's kind of like an All-Ireland final. You know, a good All-Ireland semi-final with all the crowd there from their counties is the best atmosphere, I always think. For All-Ireland final, you have a lot of people there that are corporates or whatever that mightn't have a real passion for the team that's playing, and the Super Bowl was similar to that. But
blow-ins from Kerry on their honeymoon, you mean?
Exactly. But I was invested. Don't you worry. I was like the worst type of American fan you could ever see. Like I had the big foam fingers. I was roaring and shouting. I was cracking people up around me. And it was good fun.
Yeah, Moss, you went in the following year. Who was your halftime show, Mossy?
Bruno Mars, Joe, wasn't happy.
You can't get everything in life.
No, unfortunately not. No.
And so what was a New York Super Bowl like? I mean, you're not kidding about it. Like, this was this was the first Super Bowl played outdoors in a quote-unquote cold weather city. So, I mean, like, are we talking, it wasn't Baltic, or was it miserable?
They were blessed, Joe. The day of the game itself actually was fine. We were kind of prepared in terms of we had loads of layers, loads of rain jackets, winter coats and everything. Okay. But the next day, the day after the Super Bowl, the Monday, there was a blizzard in New York and Manhattan was shut down. Like, we were actually trying to get out to JFK that evening to fly home, and you were sitting in traffic for hours. And it was just, if the game had been on the Monday, it wouldn't have gone ahead. So they were absolutely blessed. That was the risk they took, and they haven't really gone out. They've gone, I suppose, cold weather to Minnesota, where the city's cold, but it was in a dome, so obviously there's no risk in terms of the game there. But they generally like to keep it in a kind of either New Orleans with a dome, or Florida is one of the they kind of rotate around Florida, or possibly California as well, are generally the safe options, rather than the likes of a New York or Chicago or Boston, you know.
Okay, so as an experience then, I mean, you got the Seahawks beating the Broncos 43-8, so you didn't get really much of a contest.
No, we kind of felt, and again, no one has any sympathy for you. You're at a Super Bowl, you can't really complain. But the previous couple of years, the Giants had beaten the Patriots in the last second. The Steelers had beaten the Cardinals in the last second. Kieran's explained his one the previous year. So you're going in kind of hoping for the best. And the two championship games had been brilliant games. The Broncos, with Peyton Manning leading them, had beaten the Patriots the week before in an epic game. And the Seahawks had this unbelievable defense. The Legion of Boom is what they call themselves. It was Richard Sherman, and they were incredible, and they just got off to a fast start. The very first play of the game, it was snapped over Peyton Manning's head by his center, and it started with a safety, which never happens. I think it was unique, you know. But it was 22-0 at halftime, and you're kind of sitting there saying, okay, look, it's Peyton Manning on the other side. If they score first, start of the second half, maybe we'll get something. And the Seahawks actually returned the kickoff to start the second half for a touchdown. So all of a sudden it was 29-0 and game was over, you know. So it was so from a contest perspective, we didn't get that, which was disappointing. But it was the whole couple of days around it. I think every whole city tries to do a kind of like a Super Bowl boulevard and a whole area with events on leading up to it, and they did that in Broadway in around Times Square. They had 7 or 8 blocks, the whole of Macy's, the whole first floor of Macy's, I think, was just literally full of merchandise. So the whole the TV studio set up around there, so you could see all the kind of the talking heads from the past players and everything were in and out of Times Square and in around the city itself around Midtown. So there was plenty going on around the place. And then, even like I said, they were lucky with the weather, so we actually went out to the stadium early enough on game day itself, and again there was loads of stuff happening, so the experience was incredible. It was just being greedy, would have liked a better game, a more competitive game.
Donaghy got New Orleans, an epic, the blackout, Beyonce at halftime, and you got Bruno Mars and a 43-8 stinker. But listen, will you go back again then, Moss?
Yeah, you wouldn't believe I was actually... there's a couple of us who have a significant birthday this year, and we were actually, before COVID struck, we were planning on Tampa. We were hoping to get to this one. So that's obviously gone out the window. So this time last year, I was actually considering the one in Miami, kind of through, again, people I know, there was a talk of a ticket, a possibility of a ticket. So I was keeping an eye on flights last year, and I said I'd sit tight and I'd plan it better. And Tampa was doable between, again, between airports and travel and everything else. So I had it in my mind for this year. So if we'll look, we'll put it on hold for another couple of years. I'm sure we'll try and do something. But it's I have a huge interest in American football. Like, I love the sport anyway. The spectacle, the thoughts of getting to a game is great, but I actually do enjoy the whole sport itself. So I definitely try and get back to another one.
No, it's you've whetted the appetite. It sounds like it's one of those must do things if you can. We were talking earlier in the show about a bucket list of sporting events that, you know, people really want to get to. What, Donaghy, what's yours? What are you getting to over the next 10 years? What's on the list?
Augusta,
yeah,
is on the list. An NBA game, an NBA finals game would be pretty cool to get to. Even an Eastern Conference or Western Conference finals game. I just think playoff, I've been to one playoff game before, but playoff basketball is so different to the regular league games. So they'd be definitely high up in the agenda list.
Mossy, I say you've Augusta in your back pocket as well.
Yeah, for sure, that would be number one, I'd say. And then again, I'd like to see a Champions League final. I haven't got to a Champions League final, so if something like that, if an option to game to go to one of them, particularly if United happen to get back there at some stage.
Oh, there'll be plenty of time. I mean, it'll be your next big birthday before that happens. That'll be a nice 60th, Moss.
There you go. Yeah.
Listen, fellas, thanks for that. Thanks for coming on, Kieran Donaghy, Mossy Quinn, talking about, they've been to the Super Bowl, unlike most of us. So enjoy the game Sunday.
Thanks, Joe.
Thanks.
All right.
Thanks, Joe.
See you, fellas. And by the way, the lads will be previewing the game from Friday midday for our Snap Super Bowl preview special from midday Friday. So all the build up there, and of course you can watch the game itself this weekend with a Now TV Sky Sports Pass as well. Back in a sec.
The OTB Podcast Network with Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural protein powered chicken bites.